Welcome to the Savvy Spiritual Growth Podcast, where it's all about enhancing your spiritual life with host Suzanne Thibault, founder of the Padisma Advanced Healing Systems, intuition expert, and animal communicator. Listen to visionary spiritual leaders and learn their tips for living a divinely inspired life. And now, your host, Suzanne Thibault.
Welcome to episode 3 of Savvy Spiritual Growth. Self-love, superpowers, and purpose. I'm your host, Suzanne Thibault, and our special guest today is Miesche Meisner, and I'm so glad you're here, Miesche. Let me introduce you to our listeners. Miesche has been leading groups and helping people find their self-love and self-acceptance since the 1980s. She is a chief spoonbender, certified life coach, teacher, a spiritual guide, and energy worker. Miesche has been psychic and empathic since childhood. And she came into this life believing she was here to save the world. She wasn't sure how she was going to do that. And so self-doubt set in and a sense of failing at the big mission as a child. But as she's walked her life, she's grown and expanded herself and done seeking and learning and training to find her true purpose here. And she's happy to report she has found it. And that is to wake herself and others up to see that we truly are divine beings here to have a human experience. Miesche is also an inspirational humorist and a coach. And she has been enthusiastically teaching people how to bend spoons using mind over matter, to see for themselves just how powerful we really are when we step out of our limiting beliefs and step into the possibility and wonder of life. So welcome, Miesche. So glad to have you here.
Thank you, Suzanne. I'm thrilled to be here.
Awesome. So tell us and start us off about self-love, superpowers, and purpose.
Right. Well, you know, that is like my calling, because I did have the purpose, you know, when I came in, although I didn't know what it was, and I was missing the self-love. And what I've discovered is that without the self-love, you cannot get to the superpowers. You know,
So that was the key for you.
Yeah, it was pretty much it was the big key and the big lock.
Yeah.
That kept eluding me. You know, I kept doing all this personal growth and spiritual growth, but there was still always this, you know, undercurrent, like foundation, right, of not feeling really good about myself, not feeling good enough, being mm-hmm. very critical, that inner critic, that inner gremlin that gets us.
Yes, yes. We all have those, don't we, that we must deal with in our spiritual life. So tell me, were you able to find your self-love and really accept yourself for who you are?
Yeah, well, it has definitely taken, you know, work and different approaches. But I think a couple of things were sort of helpful turning points for me. And one was actually when I started meditating and taking teachings formally from a couple of Tibetan Buddhist lamas. And the instruction for the meditation was always to, you know, focus, hold your mind still, or try to hold your mind still. And then as you would lose your focus, to just gently and calmly, without judgment, bring your mind back, bring your thoughts back to whatever it was you were focusing on. And one day it sort of, you know, dawned on me that was the same sort of practice that I needed in my mind, right? I would be going along feeling, you know, kind of good about myself or just neutral or whatever. And then suddenly I would be off, you know, having some pretty angry, critical moment. And so sort of transferring that meditation practice to my mind, I was able to say, oh, wait, you know, what if I come back to where I was before, you know, bring my attention back. And along with that, I think why I was able to even kind of entertain it at that point was one day the light bulb went off and I said, you know, why am I so convinced that all the sort of mean, negative, nasty things, judgmental, critical, that I'm saying to myself are more true than any of the, you know, neutral or positive or uplifting or proud of myself things that I say to myself at other times? And it just really stood out that there was a choice to be made there. And I started, you know, saying, using that same, you know, just bring your mind back to say, okay, I have a choice. And I'm just going to keep over and over and over making that choice.
So you would hear the crazy mental stuff going on, and then you would tell yourself, no, I don't really want to entertain that. I want to come back to the calm and peacefulness where I was.
Yeah.
And it worked. Well, that's fantastic.
Right.
That's a great tip for all of our listeners, because all of us are dealing with the mental chatter going on. And it is hard sometimes to get it quiet. And that seems like a really simple way to do it. So thank you for sharing
yeah.
the way you do it. And we can all do that.
You're welcome. It, you know, it did take some time. I actually, you know, during that time that I was kind of getting a grip on that, I was seeing a counselor who, you know, I had come in feeling really all, you know, depressed and like, you know, life is just terrible and I'm never going to get this figured out, blah, blah, blah. And somehow through the session, she was able to sort of bring me around to that other perspective. And at the end of the session, I would be like mad at her because I'd be like, you tricked me into feeling good again. And what I realized was that I was giving more value and credence and truth to the negative, right? So I didn't want to be tricked into feeling good because I was only going to fall back into feeling bad again.
Right.
And, you know, it was shifting that balance. With practice, you know, and with support from other people and, you know, reading things, spiritual stuff and help, self-help just, but yeah, just getting that there's a choice in there, that we have choice.
And that's powerful. And I want our listeners to really take that in. You have a choice whether you listen to the mental chatter going on or tell it to be quiet.
Right.
Do something different to make it calm down and settle down and come back into a state of peace. It truly is a choice, and it's an important choice on a spiritual path.
Yeah, and even when it doesn't feel like there's a choice in there, there's somewhere in there, there's a choice.
Yes.
One of the other pieces, I remember hearing someone talking about law of attraction, you know, and manifesting things and shifting and whatever, and what they said was, all you need to do, if you're focusing on a negative of something, is shift your feeling. And I always heard that as, okay, so I'm, you know, feeling really stressed out about this project, say. So they're telling me all I need to do is feel differently about the project. And while that is possible to get to, what I finally understood in there was, no, I didn't have to do that. All I had to do was feel differently about anything. So just go have a different feeling. And step out of, you know, that stream of stress or judgment or whatever was going on at the time.
Yes, that's awesome, because really it is energetic in nature too. And if, in order to shift, you can, I agree, you can step into anything else to move out of it. But I think sometimes we get stuck, and that's the painful part. That's when we're in suffering, when we get stuck and we're beating ourselves up about something that isn't necessarily true. And we have that power of choice to make a different decision and shift out of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think the really big profound one for me was when I really understood and like felt viscerally that we are divine beings here having a human experience. We're all along. You know, I was trying to be a human, trying to have some, you know, transcendent, high, divine spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the shift of that to the other way around made it so much easier to be a human, because I actually came here to be a human, you know,
right.
Forgive myself for all sorts of things and look at it differently. Like, really, I mean, some things some experiences I'd rather have, you know, some I would rather not really, you know, because they're painful or heartbreaking or whatever, and we tend to shy away from those. But on the big scale of being a divine being, a soul who came down here in this lifetime to have a human experience, then no matter what experience I'm having, I'm doing the right thing.
Exactly. Because you're having the human experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to look at it that way, to be able to forgive myself and to allow, you know, rather than keep trying to like yank myself off onto some other path, I could allow myself to be and feel and perceive how, you know, where I was, how I was. And it was a huge difference.
That's amazing. Really, really amazing. And it's good for all of us to hear that, to know that we can do that too.
Yeah, right? That's a thing. Yeah. And that's what I love about pretty much everything I teach to people, including spoon bending, are things that anybody can do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you can achieve it at any given moment, you know, because we all do have our experiences or our blocks or our, you know, our strengths and places that we need to practice, but we're all capable of it. Mm-hmm. We're actually able to do any of this. It's not, you know, you don't have to be like born under some particular star or, you know, meditate in a cave for 5 years.
Right. Well, Misha, how, I know self-love is so important, and how can we learn self to love ourselves as we are and also be dealing with all the things we don't like about ourselves? To me, that's challenging. When you see things about yourself that you don't like, it makes it harder for self-love to come in.
Yeah, it definitely does. And some of that also is a shift in perspective, that as I was going through my life as some very goal-oriented, I must accomplish something, I must become something, there was, you know, I was very critical, and everything that I didn't like about myself was a hindrance to getting where I was going. Now, understanding again from the point of view that we're divine beings having a human experience, then again, it sort of, it allows you to not be so negative, you know, or feel like a failure about the things that you may not like about yourself. And I'm not saying, you know, I mean, we're like perfectly imperfect. And,
yeah.
And seeing my lifetime as my own journey and adventure, then anything that I notice that doesn't, you know, feel in alignment or that I don't really like about myself, and it's different to not like something and to prefer something than to like hate yourself for it.
Right.
Like your failure for it, you know, so mm-hmm. it's kind of that mindset and into a loving, compassionate view of yourself, you know, the way you would probably have for your best friend, you know, or your partner or your children, where there's a lot more allowance, you know. And how do you see that? You know, you see that as probably something that's going to take some growth and learning and progress, and not that they're like wrong people because they have this thing.
Right. Know, right.
Or they're not, you know, achieving, you know, I mean, I have goals, I have things I want to achieve, and there's stuff that's working and stuff that's not working. It's all part of my journey and my process rather than my sort of ranking or grading system.
Yes. So really, then, if we can learn to just accept who we are, as a human being, then it almost gives me a sense of permission to make mistakes.
Yes.
That I don't have to beat myself up. It's okay to make mistakes because I am a human being having these experiences for a reason.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when you can do that with love and kindness, and for me, I bring a lot of humor, not, you know, laughing at myself, but laughing with myself.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot easier to also learn from whatever just happened, you know, and to draw some wisdom or some new understanding, because you're actually open and present in the experience rather than trying to, you know, squash yourself or get away from that, or, you know, whatever ways that we deal with you know, what we don't like about ourselves, or, you know, or how we're relating, or some experience.
Yes. Yes. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. When we're able then to cultivate our self-love and like who we are, what kind of superpowers do emerge for us?
Yeah.
Do you have an example?
Well, yeah. So why I teach spoon bending is because I sort of stumbled into, always been interested in like metaphysics and paranormal stuff and telekinesis and whatever. And, you know, it was like cool. But one day I figured out that in order to bend a spoon, I had to be at peace with myself. And so it became a really strong teaching tool that teaching people how to take a piece of metal that they can't in one moment, you know, bend with their physical strength, that when you relax, when you become present with yourself and just even set aside any of your negative critical thoughts or beliefs, mostly of what you're saying, you know, to yourself, all sorts of things are possible. And one of them is to be able to bend a spoon. That when you open up to possibility and to wonder, rather than telling yourself always what's possible, not possible, new doorways open. So I teach people to just sort of get out of their own way.
Yes.
And you know, wonder, and also get out of their own way. And also the other part is to be willing to let go of the outcome, right? And so that, you know, when I sit down to bend a spoon, whether I'm by myself or I'm on a Facebook Live, there's a part of me that is willing and to accept that it may not work, you know, and everybody may see me not bend a spoon.
Right.
But it's that detaching a little bit from trying to control and have to have a certain outcome that allows new possibilities to come in.
That's beautiful. And I can tell our listeners, I have experienced Miche's teachings on spoon bending, and I was a non-believer, and I can tell you that I actually did bend a spoon, and I was floored that I could do that through her teachings in that way. And I highly recommend you check out her Facebook page, Miche Meisner, on Facebook, and watch some of those videos and see how powerful her teachings are.
Great. Thanks, Suzanne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it just, the more I practiced with that and the more I worked with people, you know, in order to make other changes in your life, you don't have to be able to bend a spoon, definitely. However, the kind of approach of being compassionate and kind with yourself and open allows all sorts of other things, like my intuition, my ability to hear myself, and my ability to trust what I was hearing changed a lot as I was being more kind and accepting of myself in a couple of ways. One is that rather than think that my intuition wasn't working because I wasn't hearing it or receiving it the way I had read in books that it was supposed to be, I was able to notice how things were coming to me.
Wonderful.
Right? Yeah. And then there was, you know, definitely a period, and it still comes and goes, of disbelief, you know, that I'm not really hearing that, or I'm not really getting that, I'm making that up. And if you're being critical and harsh on yourself, you're going to just go with that and shut down. And if you can be kind and curious, you can explore that. And sometimes, you know, what's coming up for me, it's coming from my imagination, but that's because that's my frame of reference of information. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean that it's wrong.
Right.
But if I can't listen to it, if I can't honor what's coming through my own self, then I've lost that capacity to hear in that way.
So that's sort of then the challenge then, isn't it? Some of the ways you can get blocked in your life or using your intuition. So would you say then that when we cultivate self-love and self-acceptance, that it opens a portal to collaborating with our souls?
Yes, definitely. Because, I mean, imagine, you know, your soul, my soul is not up there like telling me, you know, that's 3 days that you didn't wash the dishes and what are you thinking about? And, you know, why are you still behind on this and that, you know?
Yeah.
My soul is not waiting to tell me that stuff. But if that's what I'm sort of programmed or programming myself or maintaining to be my own soundtrack, there's not even room to hear, you know, how are you going to hear like, wow, you know, you're beautiful, you're divine, you have so much capacity and ability, you have no idea, and I'd love to show you, you know, you got to get a little bit quiet within yourself. And I think that, I feel like, you know, the higher self and divine beings are just sort of hanging around, like waiting for us to clear a little space on the table.
Yeah, definitely. Get quiet. Yeah. That's a wonderful perspective. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you're really showing us how important it is to love ourselves as we would love a child or a friend. And it is possible because you've shown us with your own life. And you've shown us the importance of self-acceptance because you've accepted yourself and you've seen your life shift.
Right.
And you are a shining example of that.
Thank you.
And you really are showing us how powerful we can be when we make the choice and the decision to walk our spiritual path and do our inside work and shift into that state of peace and divine alignment. So thank you very much. It's truly, truly transformational.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to, you know, help anybody find a little more slack. Cut themselves a little more.
Well, how can our listeners find out more from you?
Yeah, well, I have got a website, which is spoonbenderscafe.com, and also a Facebook page, Spoonbenders Cafe Live, and a private group, which people are welcome to, you know, ask to join. I'd be happy to let y'all in, a place to discuss all this kind of stuff and talk about spoon bending and whatever. Every Tuesday night, I lead a meditation called Heart Expanding Vibe Uplifting Guided Meditation. And it's to increase that self-love and also to increase the love that we're then sending out, because that also, that's another topic, right, for another time.
Right.
What we're emanating and how that affects the world around us. You could find that either on... go into my personal page, Miche Shines, or on the Spoonbenders Cafe Live business page. And I would love for anyone to join. It's open to anyone, whether you've meditated or not, and all ages. So that's
wonderful. And I highly, highly encourage all of our listeners to check that out. And you can learn to bend a spoon through Miche's wonderful teachings and guidance. So be sure to check out spoonbenderscafe.com and her Facebook pages and get to know her, and your life will start transforming simply by following her.
On my on the website, you can sign up to my newsletter. And so then whenever I do my next free workshop on spoonbending, you'll be sure to be notified.
Awesome. So get out there and do that, listeners. Super important. And it's fun, too. It's fun to learn how to bend a spoon, and you amaze yourself when you actually do it. So just do it.
Cool.
Well, it was so fantastic to have you on the show today, Miche. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a transformational spiritual leader in our world and helping to inspire our listeners with savvy spiritual growth. Until next time, I want everyone to remember that love makes all things possible.
Thank you for listening to Savvy Spiritual Growth with Suzanne Thiebaud. If you enjoyed this episode, tell a friend and share the amazing energy. Be sure to check out the other episodes to ignite your personal and spiritual growth. If you are ready to develop your intuition, talk to your pets and angels and change your life. Get Suzanne's free gift at suzannethiebaud.net. Also, visit us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Google+. Subscribe to the Savvy Spiritual Growth Podcast on iTunes.